had some things today that I wanted to talk to you about. Whether how I get to say them or not, I don't know. It depends on the hunger of hearts. As to what God says, he that hungers, he that thirsts after the things of righteousness shall be filled. And it's so easy as through the day that we go to eat and we drink, pressed with necessity. I didn't see Dale. We're glad to have Dale with us tonight. Dale, you're at the tent meeting. I hope that was you, a hard head over there. I thought that was outstanding. Dale was up there with us. Usually, if I have a tent meeting, he can get around to it. He usually comes. Kindly appreciate Brother Dale Clark. I appreciate that. Dale really has a perseverance and a drive for the Lord. He's determined that he's going to win this battle, and he will. So, if you hunger, and if you thirst, then the Lord will fill you. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill my cup. And he does. So if you hunger and thirst, he fills your cup. But we go out, we eat, we drink, we fill up. And as Brother Branham said one time, we satisfy us to the natural man. And we let the spiritual man go hungry. And he said that's a sin against God. He said a hunger that God has put there for the things of God, and you satisfy yourself as to override that with the stuffing and cares of life, as to fill up your natural man with the laughter and talking and eating and drinking and all these other things, as to comforts and convenience of life. And that's not good. That's not good at all. He said that's unfair to God. That's cruel. And it is. When the Lord has done so much for us, that is cruel. But nevertheless, I know that many of you love the Lord, and many of you are just babes in Christ, and you really don't mean to do that, but life offers and affords a routine, and the church that you go to a lot of times, that's their routine. And of course, we have to be careful even here at Bethlehem, because it's so easy to get into a routine. You know, you get out of service, and you go straight to the cafe, you get your meal, and then you go home, and you want to relax, and you come back to church that night. And that's not wrong, that's fine, but you have to be careful, because you get into a routine and you get your mind on the natural things. And we have to remember that we serve the Lord with the mind. And wherever our mind is, that is our spirit and our life. And when you get your mind on the natural things, then you are carnally minded. And then when you are carnally minded, you're cut off from life, because you're not spiritually minded, and the only life there is spirit. So you have to keep your minds on Christ, glorifying God. If you're sitting at the table, you want your minds on the Lord. I don't mean like you go into a place, you know, and somebody comes in and says, "Well, hallelujah, I'm here. Praise God. Brother Taylor, praise God, I'm here." I don't mean that hypocrisy. I'm not talking about that. You know, loving to be seen in the marketplaces and heard of men, and raising your voice. And the Bible said he'll not lift up his voice in the street. He won't break the bruise. But at the same time, he won't quench the smoking flax. But I mean going to a place with all reverence and respect, as in Rome, do like the Romans do. If you're in a place where they're quiet, be quiet. And you might go into a hospital, and there might be folks in there that you just speak loud, and it would go all through them. They'd have a nervous breakdown just about it. Did you know that your nerves can get in such a shape that somebody can ring the doorbell, and it's like somebody stuck a dart in you, and it hurts going down your nerve system. Literally hurts. And, you know, when you're in a place where it's quiet, you know, learn to be quiet, study to be quiet. If you're in a place that's laughing and joking and having a good time, and you know, and they're hollering and screaming out, well, that's different. You know, just let yourself go. That is, go out the door and get away from them. Let's give the Lord a hand. The Bible said the laughter of fools is like the crackling of thorns under a pot. Just get out of there. But be sober, be vigilant. The Bible said, gird up your loins, you know, and your adversary, the devil, is going along around like a roaring lion. He's after you. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Don't give place to him. See, don't project the flesh, lust of the flesh and the pride of life, the hunger and thirst of the natural man, which is the image of the devil. Don't do that. But project the image of Christ and feed the inner man, which is the image of the Son of God. Your outer man is the image of the devil. I know a lot of folks say, well, we're made in the likeness of God. We're made in the image of God. I know that we was made in the image of God. That is, Adam was made in the image of God. He was called the Son of God. After Adam fell, that image was lost. There hasn't been any more sons of God till Jesus came. And then the image was brought back, and now we have some sons of God. But at the same time, those images are spiritual images that you do not see. And that image that you do see is the image of the devil, and it's despised in the sight of God, both male and female. Don't you just think a lot of yourself? You sure to spend a lot of time with yourself, concerning yourself, feeding yourself, projecting yourself, thinking a lot of yourself, trying to draw attention to yourself. You know why you do that? Because you're the image of the devil. And you've got the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And that's why you do all those things. And that's why you love the things of the world, because you save us the things that be of the flesh. Don't you just wish you had a college education and $1 million so you could do the things of the world? And you and the devil really would get along good and have a good time, in that he save us the things that be of the flesh. Somebody says, you're just a joy killer, Brother Pike. Well, I think more like this. I'm a frolic killer. The Bible speaks of serving God as joy, you know, joy unspeakable and full of glory. Like a fellow said over in Mississippi one time, he said, man, I know when you come in, you was going to kill it. And I told my wife, I said, I saw that fellow in a vision one night where he had a church and he turned it into a nightclub. Let's give the Lord a hand. You know what that feller did? He was supposed to be a holiness preacher. He took a church and turned it into a nightclub. Exactly what I saw. Left his wife and married her, a prostitute. Stayed with her for years and went back to his wife. It's bad, ain't it, folks? I killed, all right. I went in and I killed. He said later he realized what I was killing. You know, he thought I was killing the joy of the Lord, but he realized the lust of the flesh and the things that was going on after God put him through the fire. I don't want to kill the joy of the Lord. The joy of the Lord is our strength. But the mind of Lucifer, the mind of the world. Someone would say, what is the mind of Lucifer? Well, you couldn't recognize it other than the fact that it's interwoven with your thoughts as to the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the things of life. That's Satan. The child is known by his doings. You people that just love to eat and love to drink and love to ride and love to frolic and love to talk and love to backbite and love to gossip and love to visit your relative. There's only one reason that you do that. And someone will say, well, why? Because you're a child of the devil. You savor the things that be of the flesh. That's when you like to do those things. See, you're of the devil. You've got the love of the world in you. But you people that love to pray, love to meditate in the things of God, love to read your Bible, love to study, love to give, love to evangelize. And if you go to visit relatives, you go by an unction from God or an instinct or direct leading of the Lord, in that you've forsaken the land of your kindred. And as you go through life, your interest is not in eating and drinking and those kind of things. The Bible said, blessed is a nation or a country when the king eats for strength. He's not a partying fella. So, you're not the partying kind. You don't go partying. You like to eat and drink for strength. You like to fellowship in the Lord and talk about the good things of the Lord and give him praise as you eat and drink. And you have to praise the Lord for your car and for your home and for your neighbor and for your body and for your physical strength. And your eyes are pure, so pure that you don't have the lust of the eyes as to be enticed by everything that passes before your eyes. But in your heart, you're dead to the body and you love Jesus and you're sealed in your spirit and you don't allow that to be loosed except only in terms as to whatever the Bible privileges are given to you in. See, otherwise you keep under your body, as Paul said, you bring it into subjection. And you love to minister the word. You love to testify. You got the mind of Christ. That is the child of God. And he loves, or she loves, to be with the brothers and the sisters. When you just love to get your companion in the car and just ride all day and everywhere and eat and drink and visit and revel, it's because you are a child of the devil. And when you love to be with the brothers and sisters and do something in Christ. And then when you get with your companion as to going somewhere or doing something, you're not interested in going and doing something all day and all night and all week and all year as to just riding around with the flesh, even your companion. But you might get with her to go do something for God, to give out tracts or to testify, or to even visit with your relatives and help lead them to God or do something, you know, or whatever it is. But number one, what is one of the great principles of salvation? Number one, get thee out of the land of thy kindred. Not only your relatives, but come out from among them that are in the world and be a separate people. For we are bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. He is our flesh and blood. All right. Let's read all in the book of Colossians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints of faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. As ye also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. For this cause we also sent, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now right there is one thing I wish we could get a hold of, spiritual understanding. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. That's another one I like, increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, unto all patience and longsuffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us to meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. That's another one. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. He's delivered us from the power of darkness. That is, he's taken us away from that old intellectual ignorance that's called darkness, even the mind and kingdom of Satan, translated us into the marvelous mind of the Lord Jesus, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And what am I saying right here? Who is the image of the invisible God? So then he is God. There is a God. He is a Father. He is a Spirit. He is the invisible God. So far as the eyes of humanity, he is invisible. But he doth have an image. He doth have a body like you have. Who hath the body? God hath the body. And who is this body? Who is this body? It says Christ Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things. And by him all things consist, and he is the head of the church, head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. What then are we saying again? It says, for by him, by who? The image who? Jesus Christ. By him, the image, was all things created, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or whatever. And someone said, well, he came at Calvary. But it says here that he was before all things, and all things were created by him, and without him was nothing made that was made. They were made for his pleasure, and he's the head of the body of the church. And it says, He is the beginning of all things. He is the firstborn from the dead. And that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him, and who is he? The Son. And what is he? The image. In him should all fullness dwell. Well, that is to say, God, the invisible, great, wonderful spirit of light, which means understanding, brought to pass all visible things by the act of his divinity as they emanated from the eternal spirit, even the Father, through the body of the Lord Jesus Christ when he said, let there be, and there was. So then Jesus said, the joy that I had with thee before the world ever was, Father, restore this joy unto me. And even the Lamb, the Bible said, our names having been written down in the Lamb's book of life, and the blood of the Lamb of that image having been shed before the world ever was, and this given to us in Christ before the world ever was. And this Jesus, the Bible said, that was in the world having been made by him, and the Bible said the world recognized him not, and yet the world was made by him, and he was in the world, and the world knew him not. So then it pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching men should be saved, because they did not recognize the God of heaven and of earth. And who is the God of heaven and earth? Jesus the Christ. Is there then another God? I know not of any. The Bible said there is but one God. Somebody said, well, I believe in God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Ghost. Well, that's great. That's wonderful. I believe there's a God the Father. I believe there's a God the Son. I believe there's a God the Holy Ghost. And the Bible said these three are one. Let's give the Lord a hand. So then, the Holy Ghost is in you and I. The Father was in the Son, and the Son was in the world. And so then, Jesus is the one and only God. And the word God, as we say so often, means object of worship. And so the word God should be applied to an object that can be seen. For how can you worship something you cannot see? Paul said, I worship the invisible spirit, as through Christ, by the knowledge of God, through the mind of Christ, in that Christ saw all that the Father was and all that he did. See, and I worship that Christ through the mind of Christ. But as to the natural, there's only one object to worship, and that is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was said unto Moses, it was said unto all those people before the law, thou shalt not worship anything, not anything. And then when the body was given as to the object of worship, it was said, now, even Jesus said to Satan, and thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Satan, he's your God too, for he is the father of all spirits. He created all things, and I'm not going to fall down before you, Satan, as to your old carnal mind of fault and resentment and surmising and perversion, but you're going to fall down before me and you're going to submit to me. For if you don't fall on this stone, as he said, you won't be broken. And if you're not broken, then you're hardened. And if you're hardened, then the Bible said that God will destroy you. If you harden your heart, stiffen your neck, you'll be destroyed as to a wreck, as to problems, whatever. And the Bible said, suddenly, and that without remedy, no one will be able to help you. It'll be so quick, you won't even have time to do anything. So then we see here, he speaks of the Lord Jesus being the fullness. And we say, the fullness of what? What is the Lord Jesus the fullness of? He's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What does that mean? It means there is no other human body except him, unless it be the church, which is the membership of his body that belongeth to the head. As to the God of heaven and of earth, there is but one God, that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Someone said, well, what I do, I believe in the Spirit. I know so did the Indians when they danced around the totem pole and they prayed to the Great Spirit. And so did they that were there at Athens. If you ever been to these places like Rome and Athens, there at Athens, whereas the Bible speaks of this thing where they talked about the unknown God, or that is at Mars Hill. They talked about the unknown God. Paul said, the God whom you ignorantly worship, I'm declaring unto you his name. His name is Jesus. And Jesus said, I have manifested my Father's name, and the Son shall be born, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Prince of Peace, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And he said, I come in my Father's name, I've kept them in thy name, and I've not lost to one of them except the son of perdition. And you know why that he was lost? Because he could not go through the name. The name was a screening. The name was a filter. And the name stopped him, and he could not go through the name. So then he was an outcast. The expulsion came, and out he went. When you're not in the name of Jesus, though you may be religious, though you may have religious affiliation, and you may be a big operation, and there may be tens of thousands of people that may be following after you or listening to your doctrine. But if you're not in the name of Jesus, and if you haven't come in that name as to execute righteousness in the earth, then ye are an outcast. And just as soon as the blood is taken off of the seat of atonement, away goes the grace of God. That means that Satan, as to those that even those that are religious, will no longer be in the presence of Almighty God. They'll no longer be in heaven. They'll no longer be religious and in the things of God. Never again. It'll all be over. So then if you're not in the name of Jesus, that means that you have exactly nothing. Somebody says, but I've been in this way for 30 years, Brother Pike. And I've shouted and I've spoken tongues and I've done all kinds of things. And I'll have you to know that no matter what, I'm still one of them. But I want to tell you, if you're not in the name of Jesus, you're not one of them. I don't care if you shout. I don't care if you holler, if you scream, if you go to church, if you give your offerings, if you try to live ever so holy. It doesn't matter. If you're not in the name of Jesus, then you don't have a thing. Not a thing. You say, you don't believe that's the Holy Ghost? I do believe the Holy Ghost comes down. I believe the rain is upon the just and the unjust. I believe that was the great Holy Spirit that came down upon Saul in the day when he had murder in his heart, when he went over there to kill David. I believe that that was the outpouring of the Spirit. That is to this extent that he was the anointed of God. Samuel had anointed him. And in our day, I believe it's the outpouring of the Spirit in that Jesus has shed his blood so that the Spirit can be poured out on all flesh. That is to keep things going and keep a system going in this world, that this world may continue even in the natural stride, even as the beasts that plow the fields and you feed them of the fields. And the husk they do eat, because that is their reward as to their labor. And it has to continue on till the sons of God and the daughters of God come to their understanding. And when they come to their understanding and they become a Christian, that is, when they acknowledge Christianity as to become like Christ, then that all will be over and all will be swept away. And all those people will be lost. Every one of them be turned away. And the good that they've had done, whereas a lot of people do some good things, then God will have rewarded them according to the measure of dollars and cents as to monetary values. And he will say in the day of judgment, you've had your reward. As it was said to the rich man, he said, and in your lifetime you had your good things. And as it was said concerning Lazarus, he is now comforted because he didn't have too many conveniences through life. All right, so then we see, getting back to the major theme of our thought here, that Jesus is God. If there's any dispute over this, you can go to the Lord tonight and you can tell him right there on your knees, I will not have it, that Jesus is God. I believe in three gods, and you can have your prayer and your conversation with him right there, and y'all can get together the way you feel to get together. But as of now, since I'm called to preach the gospel and tell you what God said about it, then I'm telling you there's but one God, just one God, not three gods, just one God, one faith, one baptism, and that baptism is in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sin, having begun among the Jews with Paul and Peter, and 3,000 other Jewish people, having begun among the Jews to start the church, and there coming to the Gentile world through Paul the Revelator. It is in the name of Jesus that the church was set up, and the only church that has ever been set up is his body, and his body carries the name Jesus because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he came in his Father's name, and he's still in his Father's name. And if you ever get to be a member of the body, you're going to take on his name. and you're going to die to your own name and your own identity, and you're going to walk in His name, and you're going to live in His name, and you're going to continue throughout eternity in His name. And anything that's outside of that name is outside of the Father's house, because He is the Father's house. And the many mansions is the many members that's in the name, and anything that is not in that is outside of that great lovely city that's called the bride of God, even the body that belongs to the Spirit. For the body is the bride. And that is to say that celestial body, this body that is changed to the celestial, and it is in that city that the Lamb is the light. It is within that body, as within that name, that we are saved. So then the Bible said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous flee into it. Have you ever considered the fact that you can get into the name of the Lord? That you can walk inside of the name of the Lord? That you can be baptized in or into the name of the Lord? And that it is a strong tower, the righteous flee into it, and they are saved. But that the drunkards, the murderers, the harlots, all of the doctrines that teach anything outside of the name of Jesus Christ are doctrines not of the Holy Ghost, but of the devil. And those doctrines are of Satan. And they would deceive the very elect if it was possible. And the reason they would deceive the very elect is because the rain is coming down on the unjust. It's coming down on the tare. And in the early stages as to the growth that you see in the field, many times you can't distinguish between that which is just vegetation as to a tare, or that which is vegetation as to that which produces life. And the yielding is according to the seed. And sometimes it turns out to be a briar that must be burned with fire. But a lot of times you have to be acquainted with vegetation as to a farmer, or as to somebody that knows something about it, if you're going to be able to differentiate between the two. So at that early stages of life, you cannot tell which is which. Johnson grass comes up, and as a little boy, many times I would mistake it for corn, because it looks just like corn when it first comes out of the ground. But after a while, you can tell the difference. See, so I'm telling you that there is a religion in the world today. It is what we refer to as a hybrid religion. The thing is a hybrid religion. It's crossed up with the world in all kind of things, and it's hybrid. And all that it produces is bastard children. It produces images that are freaks, walking devils, and corruption, lust of the flesh, and death. The pride of life, that is what it produces. You're just religious enough that you blend in with the charismatic move of today, thinking that God has given you the whole world when He said, come out from among them and be a separate people, and that if you have the love of the world in you, the love of the Father is not there, and yet you think that God has given you the whole world because you say God so loved the world. And do you pervert the scripture by saying God so loved the world to the extent that you say, well, if God so loved the world, then I so love the world, so I'm like Christ Jesus. God so loved the world while it was in the state of virginity, that is to say, as the garden, that He gave His Son to bring it back to the great millennium restoration, which again is the garden where everything is pure and nothing shall harm in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Right at this present time, the whole world is in the hand of Satan. Even their system is that of the devil. Their images are that of the devil. All of their politicking and policies, and all of their celebrities, and all of their governors and presidents and kings and leaders and monetary values and men, all of this is of the devil. Every bit of it is of the devil. All of their religions are of the devil. And they've got all kinds of religions. See, all of it is of the devil. Not some of it. All of it is of the devil. And that is that intellectual darkness where Satan transformates himself into an angel of light, gets very religious, and worse ministers transform themselves into ministers of the word as to light, as to religious understanding, and go through ritualistics. See, and it sweeps over all the world through the papacy and all of these kind of things. And all of them are children of the papacy. And they all came out from the papacy. And the Bible teaches that they are the harlots. They're the daughters of the great whore that corrupts all the earth with her doctrine, her indoctrination, that's drunk off of the blood of the martyrs. And so then we feel that all of these things, being of the devil, must go back to the devil. And today there's a great move. Even the papacy is traveling all over the world. Never before had there been a pope that ever traveled like the one that we have now. The man with the vicarious filia dei, the man with the number 666, the man that's traveling all over the world. And what is he doing? He's searching out his daughters. All of the denominational powers of today, whether it's Pentecostal powers or any other kind, as to denomination. Those things came from the papacy. They came from Rome. The early church with the 3,000 fell into that darkness and went through that darkness. And as it was when the children fell down into Babylon, when they came out of Babylon, they had married into Babylon, and many of them that came out, it was Babylonian people. And they had Babylonian wealth and Babylonian garments. And so then old spiritual Babylon is the same. As the church passed through that, having to pass through that, before America really was set up as to a real true God religion, then it was going through this old Babylonian mess. And the thing is that out of that came the harlot's daughters. And today all of those denominations, even through Martin Luther, they've spring up all over the world today. And they're covering the world today. But in the midst of that, toward the evening time, the light begins to come. And when the light comes, it shows up the darkness. You know, you may have a candle light, and it may be light as to what you've got. But if you get a fluorescent light, then the candle light will be all but darkness. Because that light will be going out. The brighter the true light gets, the more the light goes out. You know, as to what light you may have, as to say grace or whatever it might be. So then in the end time, this bright light will reveal the darkness that has been there all the time through this intellectual system of world confiscating. And though it doesn't look like darkness to you, it's because you're passing through that and your eyes are adjusted to the darkness to the extent that you're among the creatures of darkness and you're passing through that rim as from Canaan through the land of the wilderness to the land of Canaan. You're coming out of Egypt through the wilderness to Canaan. See, and your eyes are adjusted at that time to those shadows. But as the true light begins to shine, as you see the dawning of it as coming over the horizon, then the eyes begin to go through the act of dilation and the different things as to the focusing. And the first news you know, your eyes are wide and bright and you see that glorious light. And the Bible said, beholding him face to face as walking in this light, that light which they could not see as in the days of Moses, because the veil was between them, showing the intellectual thing is God's mercy to you. And of course, that veil of iniquity that had to be rent at Calvary to take that out of the veil. Today we're not looking as through a glass darkly as to the intellectual mind of the fall, as to grasp something that's religious to hold on to, but we are walking in the light as he is in the light. Well, the Bible said it shall come to pass in the evening time there shall be light. And so then we are changing now as to our sight, so that we can look directly into this beautiful, beautiful light, even beholding the light of the glory of his unveiled face. And of course, light is the power of transformation. And we find ourselves transformating into this glorious image of light, becoming one with him who is light. And Jesus was that image of light. And Jesus said when he came into the world, I am the light of the world. Now go away and you're the light of the world. In the Christ, the light has entered into your body according to your measure, according to your membership, according to whatever you will allow. Then are ye the light of the world, for now is the church the light of the world. So this glorious light as to the bodily image, and Jesus alone dwells in that light, being the body of the almighty light. He is the only God. He is the object of worship. All men must look to him, and his name is given to us as the Father's name. And we stay in the Father's name because it is the Father's redemption, in that when a child is born, if it doesn't have a name as a father, then it is a bastard child. So we must come through the name, or we have no heavenly father. We're not of the heavenly father because he did not give birth to the terrors. The devil gave birth to the terrors. And if you evade the name Jesus, it's very obvious that you're not of the father or of the family. The Bible said, and I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. So then if you are part of the family of God, that's to inhabit the new earth or that is to dwell in heaven, you must of necessity come through the name and be born through the name. And as Jesus said, lest you're born of the water and of the Spirit, ye shall in no wise inherit or enter into the kingdom of God. For that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of spirit is spirit. So then, when Peter said, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, that ye might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for it is unto you and your children, to as many as be afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call, then the first church came into view. And the only body of the church, which is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, and members that's been added to it, even though they went down through the dark age of the old Babylonian thing, yet David would not have the Babylonian garment of Saul. He would not take on the intellectual of Saul as to his armor and protection. He trusted in faith in the wonderfulness of God. And though we pass through the land of Esau, we don't bother the things of Esau. We pay our way through and we take that which is necessitated to life, content with that which brings life, and we go on our way, knowing that our inheritance and all that we desire is over in the land of Canaan. So then we're not entangled with the yoke of bondage as to the human side of life, or that is to the image of the devil, or the gullible side of that which is the flesh. We're not taken with those things as to wanting to homestead in this world and to have properties and powers and all of the monetary things and all of the education, all these kind of things, as to finding a place to be a celebrity or to be some professional man or to be something in this world. We're not seeking that. All of that is that which must pass away. That is the garbage that God will throw into the dump. That is a derivative from the mind of Lucifer, even the old tree of knowledge, and all of the corruption, that is where it comes from, even the mind of Lucifer, as to the tree of knowledge. So we're here to bruise the head of the old serpent, a generation of vipers, and to lift up a standard of holiness, and to bring God's people to the front, that the last may be first and the first may be last. God's people are last and they're coming to the front, and Satan's people is first and they're going to the back. So then, because of their sins, Israel was not made the head of the nation. But when Israel repents, they'll be made the head of the nation. When they accept God, like the other nations accepted God, in that the other nations did accept the fact there was a God, when Israel turns to God and the Lord Jesus Christ, then they'll be made the head of the nation. But right at this present time, they can call on the Great Spirit, they can call him Jehovah, they can call him anything that they want to, Al Shaddai, or whatever they might want to call him. See, but it doesn't make any difference unless you come to the name of Jesus. The Bible said no man is going to worship God the Father. No man is going to come to God the Father. God the Father is going to go to no man except through the name Jesus. One reason is because God cannot look upon iniquity, and you are shapen in iniquity, and in iniquity was you in concept. So then that means that you being in iniquity, God can't look at you. So you've got to come to the name of Jesus and come through Jesus, that the veil of iniquity shall be taken off of your life so that God can look at you. So then you cannot get to the great Holy Spirit except through this blood life, because this life, which is eternal life, was in the blood cell of Jesus, the only blood cell that's pure. And God is that life that dwells in the blood of Jesus, and that blood had been given to you, and in that the life is in the blood, then you must come through the name Jesus to be identified with him in death as to that given blood, that your life may be hid with the life of Christ, or in Christ, which is in that blood, and therefore we have royal blood flowing through our veins, and God can, from Christ, look through Christ, through the blood of Jesus, at this body of sin and iniquity as it being no more, see beyond that, and see the righteousness of his Son as the body and bone of his flesh, that is to say, the image of God. So we see, as the Bible said, great is the mystery of godliness. Paul said, I am a steward of the mysteries, and at the end, in the sounding of the trump, the mysteries of God will be finished. Let me say this to a few more things, because I'm not really going to get into my subject tonight, but let me say this, that when the Bible declares that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God and of his Christ, that he should reign forever and ever, why is that? If you'll notice, that is after the seventh seal is opened. The eighth chapter brings in the seven sounding of the trumpets. And at the end of the sounding of that last trumpet, then it is declared, now the kingdoms of this world are the kingdoms of God and of His Christ. Why is that? Because at that point, that is the catching up of the man-child. And at that point, war starts in heaven. And at that point, Lucifer is cast out. So then that is the closing of the ages. That is the end of the ages. Just prior to that, over in chapter 4 of Revelation, we find the door open in heaven. And John caught up into that wonderful place as to the church, seeing those that were without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. Those that followed the Lamb whithersoever He went, looking back into the earth, seeing the 144,000 sealed through the tribulation of the sounding of these trumpets when that last seal was to be opened. So then we find that in the 11th chapter, when the prophets come on the scene as to the middle of Daniel's week, it's very obvious that at that time, it is the end of the world. It is the end of the days of the Gentiles. And it is that time that the Jews come into their perspective as being found on the Mount Zion with the name of their father in the forehead. In that, in the 7th chapter, or the 6th and 7th chapter, the seals are open and they are sealed in the forehead as the church goes out. That is to say, John going up in the 4th chapter. Through the door that Peter opened at Pentecost. But anyway, I said all those things to say this, that it is at that time that there's war in heaven because the man-child goes up. And the command is given to Michael that it is now time to cast Lucifer out and that he cannot hide in the spirit anymore. He must personify himself. And that the battle royal as the battle of Armageddon, when flesh itself shall spill the blood till the blood runs to the horse's bridle, as to the contest between this man on a white horse and this man on a white horse. As Jesus coming back, as to that Jewish body, as you would term it, as Satan coming in a natural body, as to the son of perdition, as you would term it. And they meet face to face here in the Valley of Armageddon, right over there in the Holy Land, until the blood runs to the horse's bridle. And we, as the children of God, will be following our Savior. And Satan will have, through the lying signs and wonders, and as to a religious thing, of those satanic unclean spirits having gone out of the mouth of the false prophet and whatever, he will have gathered all of the nations together in a boycott under one great leadership, as unto that number that we spoke of this morning, to bring them against Israel. And when he does, then the Lord Jesus comes back, the saints with him, and the fight is on and the battle is great and the blood runs to the horse's bridle until it's all conquered. And the Son of God is set on the throne to bring in the great millennium. So we see that we're nearing that place. So who is our object of worship today? Jesus. What name do we come in? The name of our Father. Then it is said to Jesus, because thou hast manifested the Father's name, then I'm going to give thee a name that no man knows. This name, of course, what will be that name? It will be the name of the bride, for we will take on his name. Now I know we preach taking on his name in that the Bible said, my Father and I are one, and they only need one name. But in that God is a spirit, and that spirit is made manifest in a human body, and that human body doth relate to the natural side. While the Christ, as to the eternal spirit, relates to the angelic spiritual side, then the union of these things coming together as Gentile and Jew, as to the resurrection, it is shown to us that there is a name somewhere. And this name is to be given to you as a bride. Right now, the only name that's given among man is the name of Jesus Christ, and that for redemption. But he will give you his name, for the Bible said, I shall give him a name that no one knows but him, and to whom he shall reveal it. And he will not reveal it to anyone except his bride. Let's give the Lord a hand. So then there's great things in store for the bride. There's great things that's coming forth for this bride. And this wonderful great name will cause great and mighty things to take place. And she's on the verge of a new name being revealed to her. So we know then that the name Jesus is the name of our Heavenly Father. And we know that we worship God in spirit and in truth through the name. And that takes away our iniquity, that he might look beyond the veil of our body of this death that's buried and gone, to see us as the spiritual inner man that's in perfection, that is waiting patiently for the change of this body which will come, Thessalonians change in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. And we have said a lot about that, could say a lot more, but I know that many of you are tired from the travel, and I thought I'd just take a little time and exhort you tonight. Still kind of tired from the travel, but we've got a lot of traveling to do. We've got a lot of things to do if the Lord spares us. If he doesn't, well, somebody will be traveling. Somebody will be doing something. Somebody will be saying something good about him. Right at the present time, we're thankful for our opportunity to do what little we can in Christ Jesus and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. Let's stand together. Don't know whether it's warm down there or not, but it's warm up here. It's usually warm up here because heat rises. And since I'm on a different level here, well, it gets up here and it's pretty much warm up here. All right, let's sing together, Brother Taylor. Give me another K. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet Spirit. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at its feet. Spirit, sweep over my soul. Can you sing that with me? For I've anchored my soul in God's haven down the ways, and I'll sail the wild seas no more. Though the tempest may sweep about over the wild storming deep, but in Jesus I'm safe evermore. So I need thee, Lord, I need thee every day. I need thee, and I need Savior, for oh, how I need thee. Sing that with me now. So don't turn him away. So don't turn him away. Oh, he has come back to your heart once again. So let him in to stay. Oh, how you'll need him just to plead your cause on that eternal day. Let's listen to Jesus. Let's hear that sweet voice. Don't turn him away. And I thank thee for the valley I walk through today. Can you sing that one? The darker the valley, the more I learn to pray. Found thee with the lilies there blooming by the way. Though I thank thee for the valley
I'm hurt today. Thank thee for every hill I climb, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank thee for every night. Pray till I knew that everything was all right. And I thank thee for the valleys I walked through today. Life can't be all sunshine, or the flowers would die, the rivers would be desert, all barren and dry. Life can't be all blessings, or there'd be no need to pray. Though I thank thee for the valleys I walk through.
Can you sing that with me?
Thank thee for every for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank thee for every lonely night. Pray till I knew that everything was alright. And I thank thee for the valleys I walked through today. Where will you be a million years from now? Will you be happy? Will you be singing the altar's roll? Ages roll throughout eternity. I ask you this question: where will you be? Just one life to live on earth, and it's life that passes by. From the moment of our birth until it's time to die, God has given us this choice to decide our destiny in a million years. Where will you be? Where will you be? A million. Will you be happy? Will you be singing? Ages roll out eternity. I ask this question: where will you be?
Can you sing it one more time with me?
Where will you be a million years? Will you be happy? While the ages roll, I ask this question: where will you be?
Let's sing this little chorus.
And he touched me, my Lord, touch me, and oh, that's floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know that Jesus touched me and made me whole. For my Savior touched me. Oh yes, Jesus touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know that He touched me and He made me whole.
Let's lift our hands up and close our eyes.
Give me a key, Frank.
He was here all the time. My Lord was here all the time, waiting patiently in line. He was here all the time, and He was here all the time. He was here all the time, waiting patiently by Lord. Was here all the time. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restored my soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho. And He poured in.
Can you sing that?
Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho. Poured in the oil and the wine.
One more time.
My Lord poured in the oil and the wine. It's the wine that restoreth my soul. Found me pleading and dying on that day. Poured in the oil and the wine.
Let's give the Lord a hand. Jesus poured in the oil and the wine. Found me bleeding and dying on the Jericho road, and He poured in the oil and the wine. Let's sing just another chorus or two, and we're going to let you go. Just want to worship the Lord with you a little bit.
And if you'll move over just a little bit, lend you a helping hand. Though the road rough and steep, but together we can't stand. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down the same old road. And if you'll move over just a little, I can help you carry your load. And if I help you carry your load,
then you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes and look ahead, for there's the mountaintop. And when we stand upon the top, you'll be so glad that you tried. And together we will praise the Lord. We'll shout down the other side. So if you'll move on for just a little bit, I'll lend you a helping hand. Although the road seems rough and long, but together we can stand. I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. And if you'll move over just a little bit, I'll help.
One more time together.
And if I help you carry your load, then you won't have to stop. Lift up your eyes and look ahead, 'cause there's the mountain top. And when you stand upon the hill, be so glad that you tried. For together we can praise the Lord.
Shout down the other one more time.
So if you move over just a little bit, if you a helping hand, although that rough and long, but together we can stand. And I know just what you've been going through. I've been down that same old road. You'll move over just a little bit, I'll help you carry your load.
Let's sing this little chorus. Give me another key. Across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more pain. But the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy. Isn't that wonderful? Across the bridge, you'll find no more sorrow. Across God's bridge, there's no more strife, and the sun's gonna shine across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again. For in this life we're living in, I have lived a life of sin. I've done forbidden things I shouldn't do. I met my Savior by the way. I asked him for a place to stay where there's He said, across the bridge, there's no more sorrow. Said, across the bridge, there's no more strife. For the sun's gonna shine out across the river.
and I'll never be unhappy again. Far across the bridge, there's no sorrow. Across the bridge, there's no more sky. Will the sun go shine across the river? And I'll never be unhappy again. Let's sing this little chorus. We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll just serve a living God today. And as the rain falls, oh, the sun shine, I'll be happy. Oh, so happy, yes, always. We'll let tomorrow be tomorrow. I'll serve the living God that has control. And the rain, I'll be happy, oh, so happy in my soul. I don't want your gold or silver, and I don't want your diamond ring. All that I want is the love of Jesus for me. God's everything. So I don't want your gold or silver. I don't want all I want is the love of Jesus for to me. God's everything. Can you sing it more time? So we don't need no gold or silver. We don't need no diamond ring, but we need the love of Jesus for me. He's everything. You love the Lord? Can we give him another hand? And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the shall be. Can you sing that with me? If you believe that, sing that with me. For time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel, on the sea and the land and thine. Just once more again together. Can we sing it? For time shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. For the angel will stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Can we bow our heads together and die? We'll praise Him. Ah.